Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Lord, I'm thankful for your Holy Spirit in this place. I'm thankful for your resurrection power that empowers us to live lives free from sin, free from the grave, no longer looking at death. But Lord, you give us hope today. You give us purpose and reason within that love that you give us. Lord, I thank you for the stories of my dear friends, Myrtle and Jay, of Chantel, of Lufs and Upu, Lord God, and their families. Lord, I thank you that there's so many stories throughout this room of resurrection power and operation. And if there are people in here that haven't met you yet, haven't encountered your resurrection power, but Lord, go before me even before I start talking. Lord, go before me and reveal who you are. Ultimately, it's you that transforms lives. So we come with expectancy to hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Why don't we stand to our feet, everybody? I want us to read this piece of scripture. Connie touched on it already, but I'm going to read the passage around it. And I want us to just chew on what we're reading on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday. We're in Romans 8, verse 31. We're going to read to the end of the chapter. And it starts by saying this. What then shall we say to these things? Come on, everybody. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many of you believe that? There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God this morning. Amen. Title of my message today is Never Asunder. I've done a few weddings in my time, and I've always loved that passage from Matthew where it talks about that which God has put together, let no man tear asunder. I've always loved the power of that word, asunder. But there is nothing that can tear us asunder from the love of God. Last week, for those of you who are here, we were in this series called In the Gap, and I spoke about the sacrifices from Leviticus. I won't go deeply into them today other than just to mention them. And you can read for yourself in Leviticus 1-7 and check out the podcast. But I ended with this thought here where we were talking about the Ark of the Covenant, and in the base of the Ark of the Covenant, in that box-shaped figure there, you would see the law, and the tablets of the Ten Commandments would be there, and then on the top, they would use that as a place of the altar where they would sacrifice animals because we've all sinned and fallen short of that law, and therefore, there would be a necessity for humans to come and offer a sacrifice. But now that place is called the mercy seat of which our Christ, the Lamb of God, has been enthroned. Now, before I go any further, I just want us to get this in our hearts and minds, that not only is the debt of sin paid because of the sacrifice, but we also have a new identity in Christ. How many of you believe that with all your heart today? That you are new, you're completely new, you're a new creation, you're a new creature. There is a new identity that we have in Christ. It's important for us to be aware of this. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature. And this is because of this one word here, that Christ has allowed us and enabled us to enter into a new covenant. See, in the old covenant, we would have to offer animals And it was because these animals would be appeasing in their sacrifice to God, then we would be rectified or justified from our sin in Old Testament times. But because Christ has now become the Lamb of God, we enter into a new covenant. Well, we can't understand the power of this covenant without understanding what that covenant means from the Old Testament. Now, before I go any further, I must address that we are in a time that doesn't value covenant. In fact, we liken covenant to contract. The best human relationship that would be closest to covenant is even put in jeopardy of our view of covenant, and that is marriage. When you can see that, at least in the United States right now, the marriage divorce rate is just as high, if not higher in some states, than it is in the world. So the value of covenant is not as strong as it used to be. See, there's a difference between having a contract and having a covenant. You have a contract based on distrust, right? That if you breach any of these things, then that can break the contract. A covenant is an agreement where the trust has already been established. You are basically giving of yourself, like we're saying, you give yourself away to the one whom you are in covenant with. It's based on relationship. It's not based on trust. Now, in the Old Testament, there were 9 marks, and I'm going to go through these quickly. There were 9 marks of what covenant looked like. And so when you would say, okay, you're in a friendship or a relationship with somebody and you're desiring to go into covenant with them, how many of you have even heard this cheaply said, oh, that's my covenant bro, that's my covenant sister? You need to be careful with that, because this is what I'm about to share with you is covenant. Now, obviously, Jesus died on the cross to establish covenant with his covenant community, which is the church, the body of Christ. But don't take covenant cheaply in this drive-through, high Wi-Fi speed sort of society that we live in. We live in a society that expects stuff and expects it now. And if that's not fulfilling, you know, you see a breach of that so-called covenant. So what I hope to establish today is just a reminder of what was done for us at the cross and established through the empty tomb of the resurrection, so that we can begin to understand what the covenant means for us today and what has been made available to us. Now, I need to add the caveat. I'll throw the caveat right here, okay? We bring absolutely nothing to this covenant, okay? That needs to be established right now, because in the Old Testament, we used to have to bring animals. Now we bring nothing other than just a surrendered life, because Christ, just like a good cooking show, here's everything that I prepared for you earlier. You know, like he's prepared it all for us. And so as we see this, we see that in the Old Testament, the first mark of the covenant was the exchange of robes. And this isn't just, you know, you taking off your Kmart and, you know, exchanging it for Versace or something like that. It's not just an actual exchange of clothing. But you must understand in Hebrew society that the clothing, that the cloak or the robe represented your identity. Now, I'm reminded of a story in Mark chapter 10. There was a blind guy by the name of Bartimaeus, and he was on the street there. And then he'd been blind since birth, but he heard this crowd making noise, and he was asking, okay, what's going on here, guys? I can hear noise. And they said, oh, Jesus is coming. You remember this? And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. They're like, shh, shh. Jesus isn't interested in you. But Jesus shouted, Bartimaeus shouted even louder, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped, and everyone went, whoa. And as he stopped, he turned to him. And the Bible says that after Jesus healed him, he left his cloak, he left his robe, and followed Jesus. Now, if you're blind and if you're a beggar, that having a piece of clothing means a lot to you. No, that piece of clothing was representative of his identity. That piece of clothing that he had was how he would collect the money that was gathered that day. That clothing, that cloak represented his form of provision. How he was provided for was because of that cloak. It established him as being authorized to beg. But now he understood that I have a new means of provision now. Like Connie said, I don't trust in the cloak of my job. I trust in the robe of Jesus Christ now. I have a new identity and a new purpose in him. This is what it says in Mark 10. And throwing off his cloak, some of us need to throw off our cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. This wasn't like, let me think about it, God. I'm not really sure if I should be following you. He sprang up Everybody say he sprang up. He sprang up and he followed and came to Jesus. The next mark of the covenant is an exchange of belts. And again, this is not just the piece of clothing. This is not just the belt that holds your pants up. We're thankful that you are wearing a belt today. But this is a belt that you would wear that would hold your weapons. In Hebrew society, if you had an awesome weapon belt, it would represent the strength of which you carried yourself with. So the belt was a form of strength. It represented strength. So when you remove your belt in exchange for the belt of Christ, you are representing and recognizing that it's not my trust in my own strength anymore. I'm putting my trust in the strength of Jesus Christ. And no weapon formed against me will prosper because I don't trust in my tool man belt anymore. I trust in the belt of what Christ has bought for me at the cross. And I'm thankful today that all of the powers of heaven are available to me as a son of God. As a child of God, I no longer need to walk in fear anymore because the strength of heaven is around my waist. I have exchanged my belt in exchange for what he's given me. That's the second part of covenant. The third part, and I'm sorry for all the vegetarians in here, but this is where they cut the covenant animal. And they would cut this animal. They'll cut the animal. Often it was like an oxen or a bull or their finest lamb. They would cut the covenant animal, and then the blood would spill into the middle again. Sorry for the graphic nature, but this is what happened. And then those parties who were in the covenant would walk around in an eight-shaped figure, and they would begin to chant in Hebrew, a chant that would represent as we're walking through this, making this eight-shaped figure, whatever is yours is mine, whatever is mine is yours, we are walking together, we are one. Blood represented life force. And as they walked in the shape of an eight sideways, we all know what a shape of an eight sideways looks like now, is the shape of infinity. And Christ not only was the one and is the one who walks through that covenant and the covenant blood, but he is the one who bore the blood of which to declare, I walk with you in covenant forever and ever, and I will never let you go. He is the covenant animal that shed his blood for us. The next aspect of covenant is the actual blood covenant. And so these Israelite men would often, they would hold up their right hands and they would slit their wrists and blood would flow. Again, this, we don't do this anymore because Jesus did it all for us. And then they would join their blood together, and their blood would merge, and then it would be like your life is mine and my life is yours. This was the nature of the covenant that they would make with one another. But again, Jesus has done this all for us because he himself had his wrist cut open in order to let out the blood the very blood that was shed for us, blood representative of that joy that has been made available to us as sons and daughters of the living God, is now within us. We are now alive in him, and we have this blood covenant with the one who shed his blood for us. Then he exchanges names. He changes names from Abram, father, to Abraham, father of many nations. He changes names from Jacob, deceiver, to Israel. He changes names. Even the name of Jesus that we sang earlier, the name in Hebrew, Yeshua, is literally the prophecy of that which would come for him, the God who saves, and the God who saves through him, the Lamb of God, who would be slain for our sin. He exchanges our names. You no longer need to carry that name. Now, I know we all have names in here, but sometimes the names that we've been called by parental figures or friends who meant well are not necessarily the name that Jesus gives us today. He exchanges our names. He gives us a new identity. And your name is a prophecy. That's why, parents, be careful what you name your children. Don't just merge your name and your husband's name. I mean, like, pray, because the name is the most, the name is the name that you will prophesy over your child every time you call them, even when you're angry. It's like a belief that you have. So when your child is named Joshua, which is a derivative of Yeshua, he's a God who saves. Even when you're mad at Joshua, little Josh, like, that's a prophecy every time you call upon his name. He gives us a new name. What you name your child is prophetic. He gives us a new name. And I'm not talking just about your actual name, but so many things have been spoken over your life. of which you have attached to your name. That's Nelly, that no good. Some of you know, understand that tongue. You know, stuff has been said about you that's associated with your name. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ gives you a new identity. It gives you a new name. There's no power in the names that have been spoken over your life anymore. You are a new creature. You're a new creation. The old is gone. When that person said about you that you are nothing, that you are no good, the enemy would say, that's attached to your name. Jesus dies on the cross, enters into a covenant with you, and kills every single one of those names that is not your name. Your name has been exchanged. The next aspect of the covenant is that they would mark themselves with a scar. Again, you don't have to mark yourselves with a scar. Even if you doubt in this place today, Jesus still invites you to touch his hands and his feet. Like Thomas. I love this about Thomas. And I mention this all the time. Thomas, the rest of the disciples were already gathered around Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. And in John, Thomas comes to the party late. That's a sermon by itself. If you come late, you're going to miss out on the revelation. You can't get it on podcast. Revival's not that good on podcast. And so Jesus is there, and all of the disciples are like, wow, it's amazing that we're fellowshipping with the risen Jesus. That's amazing. And Thomas comes late, the tank engine. He comes in, and he sees these guys gathered around this figure that looks like Jesus. And he's like, and he comes in with the attitude of, psh. I don't think anybody in here came into this Easter service with the attitude of, psh. Coming in here, seeing people crazy about God, crazy about worshiping him because of the transformation he's done in our lives. It's just out of the overflow of what he's done that we get to worship him. I get it. I get the psh. But Jesus still invites you with your doubt. He didn't say to Thomas, hey, you were late. Go worship Buddha now. You're too late. He said to him, come. He invites us with his doubts. Because there's nothing like the presence of Jesus that transforms lives. Come touch my hands. Come touch the scars, the covenant scars that I've made for you. Come and touch my feet. And further proof that Jesus is not just a prophet, not just the teacher, but Thomas, who had spent 3 years with Jesus, heard all the disciples snore and make other sorts of noises, bows at the feet of Jesus and worships him and says, my God and my King. Who does that with one of your boys? Revelation from the covenant scars caused Thomas to bow at his hands and feet. And if you study church history, if you study missions history, you actually see that Thomas was the apostle who took the gospel the furthest and is now buried near Chennai, India. Doubter, because of the covenant scars, because of the new identity, even though he was a doubter. Doubters, welcome. You're welcome here. Bring your psh. It's all good. Let Jesus, not my preaching, not my ability to communicate the gospel, but the presence of God will transform your life. The love of God that I read about. There's nothing that can separate you from this covenant love that he has for you. The next aspect of the covenant is that they would share the covenant terms. They would share the covenant terms. The covenant terms are there in Scripture. I love when I go to the United States and see the commercials. And for the last 2 seconds, there's always a guy in a monotone voice reading out the conditions, because it's by law they have to read out the conditions of whatever medicine you're buying, like it's a headache medicine, then they say really fast that there are all sorts of symptoms. If you can take this, conditions apply. You know, like they say it really quickly, and you're like, oh, should I really take this? Because there's all sorts of conditions to this. You don't have to bring your covenant terms. In fact, Jesus doesn't say, you know what, don't bring your terms to me. Come empty-handed. I go, I'll follow you, Jesus, as long as I can keep my girlfriend. Some of y'all are like, you've been listening to my prayer, Pastor Nelly. As long as I can keep my job, you know, selling drugs, God. I promise I'll tithe, though, you know. Jesus says, don't bring your terms. My terms are in 66 books laid out for you. It's the story of myself and my son. For you, that's my terms. You come to me empty-handed He shares his covenant terms with us. And this is my favorite part. They eat a meal together. A lot of eating in the Bible. We're about to partake in communion together. They eat a memorial meal together. And they would involve bread and wine, symbolic again of the body that was broken and the blood that was shed by the animal, just to remember that covenant. But then Jesus, upon sharing, that's why it wasn't foreign for them when they were partaking the first communion. It's because they were familiar with this memorial meal. They were just wondering, okay, is this because Passover is coming? Or is this because you are the Passover lamb? They eat a memorial meal together. And then lastly, they would plant some form of memorial monument. Like it would either be stone, but most prevalently it would be a planting of a tree. So that every time that tree was passed, they would remember the covenant of what happened at that place. There was a stone and there was a tree. This is One Tree Hill that no longer exists in New Zealand anymore. It's called Untree Hill now in Auckland. But that's a memorial. There was a tree in Jerusalem. And that tree would be the tree that Jesus died upon. And there was a stone. But fortunately for us, that's been rolled away. So now when we look at this covenant, really quickly, he exchanges his robes with us. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will exult my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, he has given us his robe. He's exchanged his belt with us. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world established, it shall never be moved. He makes a blood covenant with us. 1 John 1 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. He exchanges his name with us. He says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name. He has shown us his scars. Indeed, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his scars, by his stripes, we are healed. He lays out the covenant terms. Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, so that we might have received the promise Spirit through faith. He has a memorial meal with us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I love the scripture. He's knocking on some doors, wanting to eat with you all. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. And then lastly, he plants the memorial tree. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Jesus has paid it all. Jesus lays out before all of us a fresh covenant. You don't have to do anything. He's paid it all. When he said at the cross, "Tetelestai, it is finished," he said, I've provided all of the terms for this covenant to take place. All you need to do is enter in. And for those of you who are covenant people, who are followers of Christ, this should cause you to live differently. When you understand the price that Jesus has paid, when you understand the power of this gospel, it transforms the way you live. Your spirit becomes like Teflon. It's impossible to get offended because the offenses that are directed at us go directly to the cross. I can't be offended anymore. And though the enemy may try to come at us like a flood, the Lord has already raised up a standard because he has been high and lifted up in order to draw all men to himself. And that, my friends, is the covenant that God desires for us to enter into.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.